I am honored.
Intimidating.
All right, let us begin. So our topic for today is clearly the question of Ksuva D'Oraisa or Ksuva D'Rabbanan. We'll see how much we get through, and then if we run out of time, probably end around 12 o'clock, 12:15. If we run out of time, we'll do Shir Ksuvos HaNona beginning of next week. We don't have regular Shir until next Thursday, I believe. So either we have a week of Chazara and to do the Makoros going forward. So we know the Machlokes in the Gemara and Daf Yud Amud Aleph, whether Ksuva is an institution D'Oraisa or an institution D'Rabbanan. Where would you find Ksuva in the Torah? So one potential Makor, the one that the Gemara suggests, is Mahar Yimarenu Lo Le'isha. That the Baal has a Chiv, or the Boel has a Chiv, to Mahar Yimarenu Lo Le'isha. It's unclear what that actually means. The Gemara takes that to mean that he has to write her a Ksuva, as Rashi there said. He has to write her a Ksuva and perform the suin. He has to marry her. So it seems like Ksuva is already implicit in this din of Ones and Mefata in the Torah. The Ramban there is very upset. The Ramban says that it can't be that it's referring to Ksuva D'Oraisa. So Amar Yimarenu Lo Le'isha is referring to Sivlonos, the gifts that a husband is going to give to his potential wife before he's Machneser. So the Ramban wants to say that the Psukim are referring to Sivlonos. There's no Makar for Ksuva min HaTorah. Rashi wants to say that Mar Yimarenu Lo Le'isha means Ksuva D'Oraisa. Another potential source that you could look to, the Psukim, also in Perek Chaf Aleph, Parshas Mishpatim, when the Torah talks about Ami Ivriya, so the Torah says, Kimishpat Habanos Yasela. So it's unclear exactly what Mishpat Habanos Yasela means. The Hadar Zakenim there of the Baal Yatosvos, so they say it means Yichtov Lo Ksuva. Okay, so either you have Ksuva appearing in the Parsha of Ami Ivriya, or you have Ksuva appearing in the Parsha of Ones and Mefate. So two potential makoros in Torah Shevach Zav. What would the nafkamina be of Ksuva being D'Oraisa or D'Rabbanan? Here we could point to five nafkamina that we mentioned in Shir. First one appears in the Gemara in Ksuvis on Nunvav Amibes, Nunzayin Amid Aleph, I think Nunvav Nunzayin. Shita Rameir, Ka Apoches, Lubasula, Masayim, Valmana Mana, is Bilasos Bilas Nos. The Gemara wants to know why. So the Gemara ends up saying that Rameir holds that Ksuva is D'Oraisa. If he holds Ksuva is D'Oraisa, so then he's going to make a Tznai on it. The Tznai is not going to be Chal. And the Gemara says, she's lo Samcha Daita. Okay. It's a bit of a tricky shock of Itaria, but the Gemara is saying that Rameir Shita of Kala Poches Lebesula Mimasayim Bilasos Bilasnos is a function of his Shita that Ksuva is D'Oraisa and the Tznai not being Chal. So one clear nafkamina is whether it could be masla masha kasa bat Torah. If it's drabanan, then presumably a tanai should be chal. One nafkamina. The Gemara in Ksuvis and Daf Kuf Yudam Beis. So the Gemara, really implicit in the Mishnah, suggests the Mishnah has a machlokas there whether you pay mimos kaputkia, mimos eretz Yisrael. Okay, do you pay the ksuva from the time of the shibud, where you're meshabed yourself when you committed to the payment? Or do you pay from the area of the Shasa Gvia, from the time they're actually paying up? So the Gemara has a machlokes. The Mishnah has a machlokes. And the Gemara says it depends whether you hold Ksuvas D'Oraisa or Ksuvas D'Rabbanan. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, who holds that you pay Mishas Shibud, that's because he holds that Ksuvas D'Oraisa, the Shibud is D'Oraisa, so Melo he has to pay Mishas from the time that he committed himself to the payment. So you have the Shita of Shimon ben Gamliel, that Ksuvas D'Oraisa, and you pay Mimos Kaputkia. That's the second nafkamina. Third nafkamina is what kind of karka are you going to have to pay from? Generally, we say that if it's din D'Oraisa, like by Ones and Mefate, so din is you have to pay min ha'idus. You have to pay from the best karka that you have. So if ksuva is D'Oraisa, one would assume that you should have to pay min ha'idus. The problem is the Gemara in Ksuvis and the Gemara in Gittin and Dachmem Chesem Beis. So the Gemara there just says that ksuvas isha is busy boris. You're paying from the less valuable real estate. So Tosus in Gittin already asks, but what about the Manda Amar that Ksuva is D'Oraisa? Shouldn't you have to pay Min Ha'idus? Right, so why do we only find in the Gemara that you pay Min HaZiboris? So Tosus there suggests that fundamentally, if Ksuva is D'Oraisa, you should be paying Min Ha'idus, give your best real estate. But we have this external Chasha Shema Takni Tenu. Right? If a woman knows that she'll be able to be Gove from prime real estate, so she'll get into a fight with her husband, she'll convince him to divorce her, and she'll walk out with you know, a nice $1 million parking spot in Midtown Manhattan. Okay. Tosos in Ksuvah suggests along the same lines, fundamentally along the same lines, that Ksuvah would be deraisa and you'd have to pay minidis. But the chashash is sheyifreshu bnei adam. If everybody knows that your karka, your best karka, is meshubad to your wife, then no one's going to want to do business with you, because your wife will always have first dibs on your best property, and it'll discourage people from lending money. So that's Tosas in Ksuvah, Tosas in Gittin. They're along the same lines that Ksuvah, if Ksuvah is daraisa, meikra din, you should be paying mina idis, but there's an external cause to say that you're going to pay mina ziboris. Either that we want to dissuade the wife from encouraging divorce, or because we want to encourage mobility of credit. A fourth nafkamina would be the nusach haksuva. How do you formulate the obligation when you're writing the ksuva? So here you have a big machlokas rishonim. Tosus on Yudam and Aleph maintains that the correct girsa is the chazi lichi midaraisa, that which I'm obligated to you min haTorah. Connoting that the obligation is obviously midaraisa. The Ramban and most of the Chachmei Svard strike out that girsa. They leave out chazi lichi midaraisa, the chazi lichi, which I am obligated to you. Because they want to maintain that the ksuva is drabanan. So it seems that if ksuva is daraisa, you say chazi lichi midaraisa. If it's drabanan, then just say chazi lichi without qualification. A fifth nafkamina, suggested by the Gemara in Daf Yira Med Aleph, the Gemara says, Chachamim tiknu ksuva, v'heim heminuhu. Right, they instituted the ksuva, and incorporated within that institution is the nemanus of the Baal to claim that his wife is not a basula. So the Ramban already points out, Ramban and Daf Yud, well, the implication is clearly that if ksuva is d'oraisa, then the Baal is not neman. Right, because the Gemara said, since sakanas chachamim heim heminuhu, the implication is if it's d'oraisa, and the Baal is not neman to claim that his wife was not a basula. So Ramban's bothered. Don't we usually say amotzi mechaver al avaraya? So here, when they get divorced, the woman is claiming that she has a right to masayim zuz. So shouldn't the burden of proof rest on her shoulders? She's the motzi mechavera, who probably no longer is chavera, right? She's being motzi from him. So Ramban says, true, that's what it appears on the surface, but take one example of his. Since she has a rov and a chazaka, a rov nashim ar besulos, and she has a cheskas aguf, so even midoraisa, she's not considered motzi mechavera. So she doesn't have the burden of proof. Meaning that, according to the normal laws of choshen mishpat, she is not considered a motzi. Therefore, midoraisa, the baal would not be neman. Okay? So the baal's neman is a function of the normal laws of choshen mishpat. The Ran disagrees. And the Ran says, no. From the perspective of Choshen Mishpat and the Dinum of Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Araya, the Baal should be Neman. After all, the Isha is being Motzi from him. So from the perspective of Choshen Mishpat, the Baal should be Neman. But since the whole institution of Ksuva, Midoraisa, if it's Doraisa, Ishlote Kalabain of Lahotziya, so then it's going to be Benos Yisrael Hefker. Because any time the Baal wants to get rid of his wife, he'll just claim that she wasn't a basula and he doesn't have to pay her much. Right, so if ksuva is d'oraisa, to strengthen the marriage, shalote kalabein of lotzia, then if the Baal is believed, then you've undermined the whole institution of ksuva, because now it's kalabein of. You could just claim in Bezin that she didn't have basula. In effect, the Ran is saying that if ksuva is d'oraisa, then the special din will override the laws of choshe mishpat of motzi mechaver al varai. If it's drabanan, so then hey meminu, but hey meminu. It begs the question, you know, what about the drabanan element of shlote kalabena votzia? Right, but this would be a nafkamina of, seems to be a nafkamina of ksuva deraisa, ksuva drabanan, according to the Ran's interpretation. If ksuva is deraisa, then the Baal is not neman. If ksuva is drabanan, then he is neman. So those are five nafkamina, and they seem very straightforward. If ksuva is deraisa, then you can't make a tnai. You should be giving maos kaputkia, you should be paying mina idis, you should write chazi lichi midaraisa, and the Baal should not be nema. These are five nafkamina of ksuva daraisa, ksuva drabanan. So until now everything is fine. But now the trouble begins. The problem is that we find the Rishonim blurring the boundaries between ksuva daraisa and ksuva drabanan. For example, the Rambam says in many places that Ksuva is Drabanan, Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Yud Dalid of Hilchos Ishus, Perek Yud Halacha Zayin, Perek Tes Zayin Halacha Gimel. The Rambam is very clear, Chachamim Heim Shetiknu Ksuva Yisrael. Chacham instituted Ksuva. And yet, in Hilchos Ishus, Perek Yud Halacha Tes, the Rambam also clearly paskins, like Rameir, that Kol HaPoches Mibesula Masayim, Bilaso is Bilasnos, which the Gemara said is dependent on holding Ksuva Daraisa. Similarly, the Rambam in Ishus Perek Yibes Halacha Ches, the Rambam says that the Tnai that the Baal makes on the Ksuva is Batel. The Gemara said that's a function of maintaining that it's Masna Masha Kasa Batorah. So how could the Rambam say that Ksuva is Drabanan and still say the Tnai is Batel? And for Yerusha, the Rambam qualifies and says that Tnai is not Chal because Chacham Masu Chizik LeDivrayim. For Ksuva, the Rambam leaves it unqualified, as if it's understood by the very nature of what Ksuva is that a Tnai is not Chal on it. Right? It doesn't seem, right, the implication is not that it's also Midin Chacham Masu Chizik LeDivrayim. So that's one problem. The Rambam in this issue of Tnai and Shitas Rameir is blurring the lines between Darais and Rambana. Another problem is this, is or another clouding of boundaries is the Ramban Shita on Daf Kuf Yud Amud Beis. Ramban asks, how come the Gemara only entertains the Shaila of Mos Kaputkiya or Mos Eretz Yisrael? If Ksuvas Doraisa, and it's learned out from Mo'ar Abasula, Mo'ar Yimrenu Lo Isha, Mo'ar Abasulos, so you should really have to pay with Shkalim Doraisa, like the Din of Onis HaMefateh. Right, so why are you paying with Kesef Drabanan? So here the Ramban says that even the Manda Amar who holds that Ksuva is Doraisa, even Rav Shimon Gamliel, doesn't mean that it's actually learned out from the Pasuk of Marab Sulos. He means that it has a Doraisa concept. Right, it's like Allah Moshe Misinai, there's this notion of a Ksuva, but it's not going to have the full force of Marab Sulos that you need Shkalim Doraisa. So, I mean, if you want to, the Yushalmi is explicit. At least the Yushalmi, according to the Karban Eda's reading of the Yushalmi, is explicit. No Yushalmi is ever explicit. The Yushalmi says, the Yushalmi seems to say, there's machlokas whether you pay with Shkolam Doraisa or whether you pay with Kesef Drabanan. And the Karban Eda says, yeah, this is machlokas of whether Ksuvah is Doraisa or Ksuvah is Drabanan. But the Ramban is maintaining that even if Shimon ben Gamliel, who holds Doraisa, will say that the Kesef is going to be Kesef Drabanan. Another instance, also a shita of the Ramban, and this is the Ramban's proof for what he just claimed, is that even if you hold that Ksuva is Doraisa, you still will only be gove min aziboris. Right, it's not fully Doraisa, you'll collect from the prime real estate. Tosfos in Gittin, we mentioned before, was bothered by the same question, right, and Tosfos abdicated the point. Tosfos said that fundamentally you should be gove min aidis. And other Rishonim, I think I have them here, the Rashban Daf Yud, for example, says that, yeah, if Ksuva is Doraisa, you're Govim in Edis, Lamaisa. Take away the technical concerns of Shema Takni Tenu and Shema Yifrosh Milahalvos. If it's Doraisa, you're Govim in Edis. But the Ramban doesn't want to say that. The Ramban wants to maintain it could be Doraisa, and you're still paying Ksuva Doraisa min Aziboris. A fourth instance, the Girsa of Chazilichi Midoraisa. Tosfos on Daf Yud Amud Aleph has different formulations. One way of reading Tosfos is that we write Chazilichi Midoraisa in our Ksuvos because we paskin that Ksuva is Doraisa. The Shidun Kavetzis doesn't like that formulation, pointed out in Shir as well. Is that no, Tosfos means that we're somech on the Shita of Rashbag, not that Ksuva is Doraisa, but just to write Chazilichi Midoraisa. So Ksuva is not really Midoraisa. Mach midoraisa, and therefore we can write chazilichi midoraisa, even though it's not. That's the way Shinuk Bethes wants to explain Tosfos. We're so mech on his shita. Tosfos in Sotan Chavzayin Mebeis makes a similar claim. According to Shimon Gamliel, it's not mamish min haTorah. Similarly, the Orchos Chaim quotes Rabbeinu Yonah that even if you don't write Chazi Lichi Midoraisa, even if you don't put that into a ksuva, you're still chayiv b'kesef d'oraisa. You're chayiv with the coins of Doraisa, even though you're positing that the ksuva is drabanan. Okay, so somehow you're paying with coins Doraisa, and this notion of chazi lichi mi Doraisa is inherent to the ksuva, even if you don't actually formulate the chayiv with those terms. This is in contrast to the Ramban's position, that if you write chazi lichi mi Doraisa in a ksuva, then you've ruined the ksuva and you're not chayiv anything. Since Minatora, you're not chayiv anything. As Ramban wants to say, that if you hold ksuvas drabanan, writing chazi lichi mi Doraisa ruins the chiyuv. Ben Yonah wants to say that you can still hold ksuvas drabanan, and yet you're automatically chayiv under the terms of chazi lichi mi Doraisa, even though it's not. So you have to explain how you could straddle both sides of the fence here. So how do we explain these contradictory positions? So one way of going about it is looking at the Ramban on Kuf Yud Amud Beis. There the Ramban has this formulation that even if the actual amount is not going to be min haTorah according to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, nonetheless, kol ma sheheskimu beineihem havem mohar. Whatever the two parties agree on, they decide this is what they're going to bring into the marriage, that's going to have the force of a ksuva deoraisa. There's no chiyuv min haTorah, but whatever they agree on has the force of a deoraisa. Rabbeinu Kreskes on Daf Yud Amud Beis has a bit of a different formulation, but in the spirit of the Ramban. And he says that kol echad ve'echad kosev kirtzono v'zeh deoraisa. Right, so it's a little less bilateral. Right, whatever the husband decides to put into the ksuva, that's going to be ksuva deoraisa. Whereas the Ramban wanted to phrase it more as kol ma sheheskimu beineihem. The Ritva on Yud Amud Beis says either min haTorah you'll either have Masha Yirtzu, okay, which seems to be like the Ramban and Rabbeinu Kreskes, o kefish yaskimu, o kefish Masha tiknu chachamim, meaning that the takanas chachamim is sufficient to have force midoraisa. Right, so the Ramban and Rabbeinu Kreskes seem to require that it be volitional. I'm mischayev myself to a certain amount, and the Ritva is saying no, even takanas chachamim could have that din d'oraisa. So here we give the model of either the mitzvah say of Shabbos, where the Torah tells you a broad concept of tishbos, not to do malacha, keep the spirit of the day. Then the details are filled in by the chachamim. Kind of a lomasra akasav lechachamim idea. So that might be the position of the ritva here in Daf Yom Beis. So in effect, what you walk out with is the Rishonim are bridging the gap here from two directions. You have the Ramban, who says that even if you hold that it's midoraisa, even Rashbag, who holds midoraisa, he doesn't mean it's mamish midoraisa, he means only kol mashe eskimu beineihem is doraisa. The Rambam is coming from the opposite direction, and the Rambam is saying that ksuva is drabanan, chachamim tiknu ksuva li Yisrael, but even within the sheet of ksuva drabanan, you have elements that are going to be, you could have elements that are minator. So now the question becomes, what are those elements minatora? Right, how are you to understand the chiyuv ksuva such that it has force min haTorah? What is it? So here we pointed to what seems to be one of the most important definitions of ishus. Now you take ishus and you contrast it with the institution of pilegesh. The Rambam in his koteret Hilchos Ishus, Rambam says that the mitzvah of kiddushin is lisa isha v'ksuva v'kiddushin. Okay. Seems that almost definitional to the concept of ishus is that there's a ksuva. Similarly, in the Koteret, the Rambam says that the iser of kedusha is shelo tivel isha velo ksuva velo kedushin. That the violation, the iser of kedusha deoraisa, is a case where you boil a woman without a ksuva. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, when he talks about the iser of kedusha, the Rambam says to boil a woman without a ksuva and kedushin. The Ramban in his Asagos immediately objects. The Ramban says, how could that be? Ksuva is drabanan. How could that be factored into the very definition of Isra Kadesha? Right, and we would add, for the Ramban in the first mitzvah of the Koteret, how could it be factored into the definition of Ishus? It's in drabanan. It can't be essential. It can't be inherent to what it means to have marriage midaraisa. So, you know, Migilas Esther wants to defend the Rambam, and he says the Rambam paskin is that ksuva is doraisa. That's how it could be factored in. Problem with that is that the Rambam in Ishus clearly says that ksuva is drabanan. So this just complicates the dynamic. The Rambam in Hilchos Melachim in Perek Dalet Halacha Dalet is a fourth case where the Rambam incorporates Ksuva into what seems to be a definition of Midaraisa. Rambam says that the difference between Pilegesh and Isha is Ksuva Vikidushin. So it seems that Ksuva seems to be one of the defining elements which distinguishes marriage from Pilagshus. You might take this a little further. We quoted the Rav in Shir who said that Pilegesh for a Melech, and the Rambam Shita is that Pilegesh only applies to a Melech. And the Rav's point was that it's a case where you have a Chalos Ishus without a full Maisa Kedushin. Right? Because the fact that she's the Pilegesh of a Melech, and the Rambam still says you need some sort of Lahachnisa. So you have a quasi Kedushin by virtue of her being associated with the Melech. What that means is that the critical difference now between Pilegesh and Ishus is only Ksuva. Right? The Rav's point is that you have an artificial Kiddushin through the nature of what it means to be a Pilegesh to a Melech. Right? That's kind of the tshuva of Yaakov Emden also. So you have an artificial Kiddushin. So what that means is that the more critical difference between Ishus and Pilegesh is really just Ksuva. And when you step out of the Rambam Shita and you turn to Rashi Al Torah, Rashi embraces Chaf Hei Aleph. I think it's Aleph. Rashi seems to say, maybe at a different gear than the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that the only difference between a Pilegesh and an Isha, an Ishus, is Ksuva. Okay, so you have two issues here. You have the textual issue in the Shita Sarambam. How could the Rambam maintain Ksuva Daraisa for all these definitions if he holds his Drabbanan? And you have to understand, for Rashi, what does it mean that Ksuva itself is the only defining difference between what it means to be a Pilegesh, what it means to be, what it means to have Ishus? Unless you think that Pilagshus is a kind of a Ishus in general, just look at the Ravid and Ishus Aleph Dalid. You know, and the Ravid says that really she's a woman who's a servant, she cleans your house, she cooks for you, and you know, she also has relations with you when you want. Right? It's kind of like an all-purpose maid. Right, it's not a toned down marriage, right? It seems to be like a more generous interpretation of a maid. So it's hard to say that Pilagshus is actual marriage, right? And yet the only difference between Pilagshus and Ishus on this interpretation of Rashi is Ksuva. So it seems like Ksuva is very important for our understanding of Ishus. Let's make a second observation here. The Gemara in Bava Kamma says that the reason for Ksuva is shalotehe kala be'enav lehotzia. It shouldn't be easy for the husband to divorce her. Right? It imbues and endows the marriage with a certain dimension or a certain degree of permanence. So the Meiri in his Akdama to Maseches Kedushin, he takes this further, and he says, yeah, this is one of the big innovations of Matan Torah. The Torah said you have Kedushin, you have a Kinyan. The Torah says you have Edim, the Torah says you have Ksuva. And if you want to divorce your wife, you have to go through this complicated process of writing a get. Right? You can't just walk away. So Koda Matan Torah, Ishus was casual, you're married, you're living together, you wave goodbye, and now you're legally divorced. Achar Matan Torah, you have Kedushin, Edim, Ksuva, and Ksiva Sashtar for Gerushin. And the Ravid says, and the Meiri says this is all to add permanence to the marriage. So on the one hand, this is very important because it means that Ksuva is actually up there with Kinyin and Edim. Seems like it's definitional to Ishus. On the other hand, you have an issue with the Shita Sami'iri because the Mi'iri in Ksuvis is pretty clear on Daf Yud that he paskins Ksuva Drabanan. Right, so you have, once again, you have this recurring theme that it's not inconsistent to maintain Ksuva Drabanan and still hold that Ksuva is definitional to what it means to have marriage post-Matan Torah. And let's remember here also the Shita of the Ran, that if Ksuva is Deoraisa, so then the theme of Shalote Kala Be'enav Lahotzia is so strong that it would undermine the Baal's Choshen Mishpat right of a Motzi Mechaber Olav Araya. Okay, so you have, I'm just bringing you three shitas to demonstrate this, the force of Shalotei Kala Be'in Avlotziya. The Meiri thinks it's one of the innovations of post-Matan Torah marriage. The Ran, two really. The Ran, who thinks that this would change the dynamic of Choshen Mishpat, to say that there no longer is this din of Motzi Mechaber El Varai, because the Torah wants to solidify the Ishas Ad Kedei Kach that he can't claim that she didn't have Besulin. We could take this idea further and demonstrate that the concept of ksuva is embedded into the way you trigger, into the way you create the ishus. Not just that it's essential for the definition of ishus, but that we've incorporated the writing of a ksuva, or the chiyuv of a ksuva, into the way you affect, the way you create a maisa kedushin and nisuin. So the Rabbi Bartzaloni, who was the rav in Barcelona before the Ramban in Spain. So he has a Sefer Ashtaros where he brings all these different documents, and he says a Shtar Erisin, one view of what a Shtar Erisin is that it's a hischaivus to write a ksuva. Or another view, that a Shtar Erisin actually is a ksuva. As he points out, that seems to be against the Gemara in Kedushin. The Gemara says that a Shtar ksuva, a Shtar Kedushin, is Harayat Lili Nasa, Harayat Mekudashesli. Right, so what does it mean that a shtar kedushin is a schaivas to write a ksuva? It seems like there were rishonim out there who held before the Rabbi Bartzaloni that the way you could affect the maisa kedushin through a shtar is sufficient through a ksuva. Okay. Another manifestation of this idea is Rashi in a tshuva. Rashi points out, doesn't like it at all, but Rashi points out in this tshuva that there was a minhag that the eidei ksuva, so that the Eidei Kedushin should sign on the Ksuva. And as Rashi points out that this is, you know, there's no need for this. But why would you have this notion that the Eidei Kedushin should sign on the Ksuva? So it could be a way of trying to join together the Maisa Kedushin along with the Chiv of the Ksuva. You have a question? What?
A sneer.
A sneer?
Yeah.
Why are you sneering? So it follows that both the Rabbi Bartzaloni doesn't like the Chiddush, and Rashi doesn't like the Chiddush. Right, so who are we left with? It's a good question. Yes, let me give you another disputed proof to this yisod. The Tosus in Psachim and the Rashi in Psachim on Kuf Beis. So they both have this idea, and Rabbeinu Tam has it in Sefer HaYashar, that you should have Kriyas HaKsuva in between the Erisin and the Nisuin. So it seems to me that the motivation there is really to create a hefsek between the Erisin and the Nisuin. But certainly the idea itself that you should be reading the Ksuva between the Erisin and the Nisuin, or Tachas Achupa, it might indicate that there's a kiyum of the Ksuva during the time of the Erisin and the Nisuin. Okay? So you might argue, yeah, Rashi doesn't like this practice that they had the Eidei Ksuva, the Eid Kedushin, sign on the ksuva. You might say the Rabbi Bartzaloni doesn't like the chiddush that this is a shtar kedushin, and you might say that they interpret this minhag of reading the ksuva only as a technicality in creating a hefsek. But you might wonder that, you know, maybe this points in a certain direction. Now, where is this all coming from? And how do you explain that?
That
what? How so? Why does she tell so?
She wants to have some people indicate that.
I mean, because Rashi says it's me didn't have to. Could be. This is a stronger demonstration of this theme. Not where we try to incorporate the ksuva into the actual Maisa Kedushin. But what happens now if you're found in a relationship and you don't have a ksuva? So here the Gemara has a sheet of Rav Meir that it's called poches, is bilasa bilas nus. And when the Gemara says that's asher l'shalos imisho shah achas below ksuva, the Gemara says that's, the Rishonim explain, that's midin bilas nus. You always have to have the ksuva present. So what does that mean? It seems to be that if you chip away the chi of ksuva, or you chip away shlote kala be'inav lo'tzia, so you've cut back one dimension of the of what it means to be married, and now you're left with a bias nus. The Gemara Nedarim has a very similar theme on Daf Chafam Beis. One example, the Gemara has nine cases, but one of the cases there is, one case is where you boil your wife with kavana that you're being boil someone else who's not your wife, or you're being boil wife A with kavana to be boil wife B. So the Gemara says that's a kind of a bias nus, because it's true that you're in the context of a Kenyan Kiddushin, but it's clear that realistically there's part of that Kiddushin that's been undermined. The Gemara also says, Kiven Shanasan Daita Lagarsha. Once you already decide that you're going to divorce your wife, so that Bia is going to be a Bias Nus. Because the intent to divorce itself already affects part of the Gerushin, not the Kinyan, but part of what it means to be married has been undermined. So it seems like the Gemara is saying a similar thing about Ksuva. Take away the Ksuva, and you're left with Bias Nus. Sure, the Kedushin's in place, but you've undermined one of the essential characteristics of what it means to be married. Perhaps you'll say it's the permanence. Undermine the permanence. So one case, it's Daito Lagarsha, you decided you're going to marry her. In another case, it's you got rid of the Ksuva, which is the economic way of enforcing the marriage. Yeah?
Can you just say that when you get rid of the Ksuva, it's a quasi-Daito Lagarsha?
It's what?
Yeah, almost a Daito Lagarsha.
Why is it Daito Lagarsha?
Now
it's kal be'in avlo tzia. Yeah, but kal be'in avlo, it doesn't. Just because it's not hard for you to divorce your wife doesn't mean that it's you now have, you know, almost intention to divorce her. Look, I can tell you, my ksuva burns up. You know, it doesn't mean I'm going to divorce my wife now. Right? I mean, now it's harder for me to do so. Right? But there still would have to be a mental transition where I say, you know, from now going forward, it's over. I don't think the loss of a ksuva precipitates that.
Well, I mean, the point is that...
Unless you have this view that all men are forced into marriage and, you know, dal the ksuva and they're, you know, the dam's broken loose and they're going to go out.
So it seems like you're sure they got it.
No, I think it's a way of enforcing it, but it doesn't per se reflect the reality.
If the tzvah is being made kodum the ksuva, that's good, that it's not per se that he shouldn't be focused just like we'll divorce him. It's that in the contingent plan that he ends up divorcing him, it's not per se that he's planning to divorce him as soon as he's focused on
the mail. And it's in response to Isaac's question?
Yeah.
Okay, so what we've just tried to show is that ksuva is inherent to the notion of what it means to have halachic marriage. So you've seen this A from all the cases in the Rambam where he incorporates ksuva into the distinction between ishus and pilagshus. It's incorporated into the definition of kadesha. It's incorporated into the mitzvah of nisuin. You see this in a second area, where shalot tehei kala be'inav lo'tzia, according to the Meiri, is the transition from pre-matan Torah to lachar matan Torah. It's affected through different things, but one of those things, you have kedushin, you have kinyan, edim, get, but you also have ksuva. That's one of the four important distinctions. You also see it in these different ways that the ksuva is incorporated into the ma'isa kedushin, either in the shtaros of the Ria Barcelona that he doesn't like, maybe in this little minhag that Rashi quotes. I agree, the Rashi thing is weaker. I think the Sefer HaShtaros is strong. Because just because one Rishon disagrees doesn't mean that... I mean, he's not saying that there were some fools who wrote this. Right? The people who wrote the shtaros were presumably knowledgeable. Right? So yeah, Rashi, we don't really know, it's like a minhag kadim. The Ria Barcelona makes it seem like a minhag kadim. Also, if the Ria Barcelona thought it didn't have any force, why would he quote it in his Sefer HaShtaros? Right? It's a minhag tos. What? But you wouldn't say yesh kasu, this is a shtar kedushin.
You say yesh kasu shtar kedushin kaza.
Okay, but if I was writing sefer hashtaros, right, I wouldn't say, you know, yes, modern Orthodox Jews who think that a prenup is a shtar kedushin, right? Contrary to popular belief, right? I wouldn't say that.
Why wouldn't you do that? It's a common conception.
Because it doesn't register. It doesn't register as
a problem.
So saying you're
what?
We gotta get rid of it. It's a problem. So
nah. I don't know. I wouldn't
do that.
No, it's just the matter of the next.
Why would he want to get rid of it? and the fourth way of demonstrating this idea is that forget about the kinyan, forget about the definition of ishus in contrast to pilagshus, but take what it means to be marriage and cut away the ksuva, and the Gemara says you're left with the biasnos. Now let's move to one final theme. Is the ksuva related to the erusin, or is the ksuva related to the nisuin? So the Rambam in Ishus Perakir Alacha Zayin. So Rambam says you have to write a ksuva kodem achupa. You have to write a ksuva before you enter the chuppah. So a lot of the Ramban is bothered, the Ramach is bothered. Where does this come from? So you might say that it's based on this idea of kolam ishaya shah achas below ksuva. Right? And the Rambam is really saying is that it has to be a chuppah haroi labia. You're only allowed to have relations if you have a chuppah, if you have a ksuva. The chuppah has to be roi for bia. So, you know, follow the syllogism through, and the conclusion is that you need a ksuva for a chuppah. Okay? We suggested something different. We suggested that, you know, this is me'ain. This is almost a reflection of, you know, the ideas we saw before. That you need a ksuva for the shas nesuin. It's just definitional to what it means to be married. What it means to be married is that you had a kinyan kiddushin, you had edim, and that the marriage is enforced by shlote kalabein of lotzia. Okay, that's almost definitional to what it means. The Rambam says you have to have it b'shas nesuin. You can't walk into the marriage without it. Now you might say that, you know, oh, don't worry about that actually. You can ask me afterwards. The Rambam in Perek Yud Halacha Yud Aleph, the Rambam says that you might have had a havamina that just the writing of the ksuva is ose nesuin. Right? It's not true. Why might you have had that havamina? So you might have said that nesuin by itself is defined as knisa lershuso. She's walking into the authority of the Baal. And that's what ksuva essentially is. It's you're outlining the obligations that the Baal has to his wife. So what's a better way of defining knisa lershuso? The fact that she walked through the threshold of his house, or the fact that legally on paper now he's expressed his obligations towards her. So you might have said that the obligations that he expresses on paper, that's the ultimate demonstration of knisa lershuso. So I'm saying it's not true. Okay. So the havamina that ksuva might have worked as nisuin seems to indicate that ksuva is essential. It's part of the definition of knisa lershuso. Okay. Now, Doron, you would say, well, this is the same point, right? I'm saying don't think that way. Because a bunch of crazy Jews in Spain thought that doesn't mean that it carries through. Right? But this is where the method comes in. The method is that the fact that there are people who believed it, right, contains a strain of some halachic truth. Say for Ashtaros to shoot.
Ashtaros, which I wasn't supposed to be like practical. Whereas like the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam might conceivably include conceptual havaminos. As we said, the Rambam writes differently in this Mishnah Torah than he does in Shuk.
Ah. So why didn't he write this in Or Nevuchim then? For the audience that would have been perplexed by the system of halacha. Okay, so certainly the Havamina seems to reflect this idea, and you might claim that it's rejected Lamaskana, and that, you know, goes out the window with Rashi and the Rebbe Barcelona. A third indication in the Rambam about the status of Ksuva is the Rambam says that even if you don't write a Ksuva, the Tanai Bezdin, that goes into effect automatically, the Rambam says that would go into effect Mishas Nesuin. But if you wrote a shtar ksuva before nesuin, mishas erusin, so you wouldn't be able to be gove minachas and mishubadim. Right, the chiyuvim of the ksuva wouldn't go fully into effect until the nesuin. So the Rosh is very bothered. What do you mean? He wrote a shtar, and the shtar says that I'm chayiv to you. So why is the shas nesuin so critical? So what we explained in, what we developed in Shir, is that that's exactly the point. The ksuva is not just a shtar his chayvos, where the Torah says, if you get married, you know, you should know that you have to give your wife this and this amount of money in the case that you get divorced. No. It's not that the chiyuv, you know, the notion of marriage requires you separately to compensate your wife, but one almost is essential to the other. It's definitional to what it means to have nisuin, that you now have mutual obligations. But prior to the nisuin, you could write out all the chiyuvim that you want in a shtar, but it's never going to have the force of a ksuva. Because definitionally, ksuva is linked to the obligations of bala ishta. And that hasn't gone into effect until the shas nisuin. This is all in contrast to Tosos and Kedushin, Samechemet Aleph, where Tosos assumes that the ksuva goes into effect, mishas erisin. But the Rambam thinks that it's shas nisuin. It's the knisa l'rshuso. It's the actual beginning of the ishus, not just formally, but in reality that triggers the ksuva. Yeah?
Do you think there would be a fundamental difference between the Rambam connecting ksuva so heavily to nisuin as opposed to Rashi, if and the Levi Tholomew were connected specifically to erisin?
Okay, so... I think the Rebbe Bartzaloni and Rashi who are connecting it to Erisin, I don't think that they necessarily hold like Shita of Tosin Soda, that it's really totally on the Erisin. But what you can infer from there, from the Rebbe Bartzaloni and Rashi, is that you know the Ksuva is inherent to Ishus. I don't know if they mean necessarily Erisin in contrast to Nisuin. Right? I don't think they mean it's essentially connected to the Erisin. All the Rebbe Bartzaloni says is that a shtar Erisin might just be a ksuva. I don't think he means that essentially a ksuva is linked to Erisin. That's the difference. Yeah.
I'm just wondering, are there any sources who say something like, if you write a ketubah after Erisin and before Nisuin, maybe you'll write like another one?
At the shas Nisuin?
Yeah.
I don't know off the top of my head. Well, we could look into that. There's very interesting questions about like the brachos. If you make the brachos in between the erisin and the nisuin, maybe you should have to make the brachos again b'shas nisuin. Right, so if you want to say the Rambam is the same havamina by you know brachos chasanim as he has for ksuva, so maybe you say that the same application also. I'm not 100% sure. So why nisuin? Why nisuin? So I think this is very much related to the second topic that we discussed this year. We're not going to go into it now, but just to introduce it, is the chiv of sher ksus anona. The chiv of sher ksus anona also go into effect b'shas nisuin. Why? Because those obligations are contingent on the life of marriage beginning. So it seems like the chiv of ksuva is also somehow related, not to the kinyan, but to the beginning of the life of marriage. What it means to have ishus is obligations from the baal to the Isha. So this works out, I think, extremely nicely with the Shitas Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, where the Rambam says in Gimel Memtes that Ksuva existed also pre-Matan Torah. Okay? Rambam says that the Gedi that Yehuda gave to Tamar after he was Boel her was the equivalent of a Ksuva L'Achar Matan Torah. Because Rambam there says that any time somebody has relations with a woman, that entails obligations towards her. So you can't just be bol her and be holich l'darkcha and say, you know, shalom Yisrael. But it's inherent to that, to the notion of bia, or what the Rambam actually says even stronger. The Rambam says both in Mor Nevuchim and in Hilchos Ishus that kiddushin kodem matan Torah was just imratza huvehi machnisa lebeso bo'ala. So the equivalent of kiddushin Kodem Matan Torah was simply machnisa lebeso, and they had relations. So Rambam says that relations itself was mechayiv payment. It's mechayiv a certain amount of money to her. So Rambam says that's the institution of ksuva lachar Matan Torah as well, once you have kiddushin. So you might say, what does the Rambam mean here? So you might say very simply that the Rambam means that every relationship of ishus, whether it's in the casual sense of pre-Matan Torah or in the formal sense of Achar Matan Torah, comes along with this chiv of responsibility klape the woman. So then, what emerges is that the Rambam is saying that to the extent that you had any form of ishus of shalotei kala be'enav lehotzia kodem Matan Torah, it was inherent not in the kinyan kedushin, because that didn't exist. It was inherent in the chiv ksuva. Because the chiyuv ksuva, the obligation that he had to the woman if they were to separate ways, that was the only thing that maintained the relationship, kodem matan Torah. So you might say for the Rambam that this institution of ksuva existed kodem matan Torah even before you had a kinyan kedusha. And on lachar matan Torah, the institution of ksuva is there shlote kala beinav otzia in the same sense to strengthen the relationship. The Rambam in Tshuva Shin Samechet, yeah.
Just you say that that really existed before Matan Torah, that idea, doesn't that kind of diminish what we try to say, that the idea itself is Matan Torah?
The what?
The overarching idea that Ksuba is...
Because the idea is that it's inherent Matan Torah to the nature of Ishus.
Okay.
Right? So what I'm saying is that the Avos before Matan Torah, just like the Gemara says by Yibam, Yibam existed quote in Matan Torah.
Like that.
But yeah.
So like it intuited that it was...
Yeah.
Idea,
yeah,
not
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
not in the problematic sense that the Talacha is recognizing, you know, Chas
right,
v'shalom.
I mean, that's really a different idea than what he's trying to say, what you would have thought he was trying to say about Kodem Matan Torah, no?
What? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's the beauty here. We're saying it's inherent to what it means to have marriage in a Jewish way. And like
yeah,
the
yeah.
Avos intuited that also. So I'm saying that exists in Kodem Matan Torah, and then it carries through even Lachar Matan Torah, even when you have a Kenyan Kedushin. So Ram in Tshuva Shin Samechei. So Ram there was asked about this tricky case where the husband didn't want to pay his wife's ksuba, and he schemed that he'll claim that he wants to make Aliyat Eretz Yisrael, and then his wife is the one who's holding back. She doesn't want to go to Eretz Yisrael, so she loses her ksuba because he wanted to do a mitzvah and she didn't want to be mekayim it. So Ram says we have to treat this matter very, very seriously. Because otherwise, any husband who wants to not pay his wife's ksuba will claim that he's going to Eretz Yisrael. The wife will say, you know, it's an Eretz Ocheles Yosheveha, I don't want to go. And then she'll lose her ksuba. Okay? So Rambam says we have to be really careful about this din, because this institution of ksuba is so important. After all, it was something that Yehuda intuited after he was Boel Tamar. That it's inconceivable that you could just separate ways without having some sort of obligation towards this woman. So that's shlotei kala be'ein av lahotzia. And it's so definitional to what it means to have marriage that it can't be that we'll let this little scheme of a daita l'meisak l'eretz Yisrael undermine the chiyuv ksuva. So Ram says every bezin has to be really, really careful about the true intentions of the husband. But the Rambam clearly is linking this din of shlotei kala be'ein av lahotzia, even in possibly in the shaila, with the fact that it existed kodem matan Torah in the case of Yehuda and Tamar. So one final point. This would solve Tosos in Ksuvas Lamed Tesmei Beis. Because this argument is saying that not only is Ksuva essential to the definition of Ishos, we're also explaining a little bit further. We're saying that it's in, not only is it a security of Shalotei Kalabein of Lohotzia, but it's also inherent to the obligations that a husband has to his wife. That's why it's Talion Nesuin. It's like Sherek Sisvaona. So Tosus in Ksuvas Lamed Tesmei Beis asks, how come we have a ksuva in every case of Almana? Right, Almana is clearly not a case of Shlotei Kalabein of Lohotzia. He died. Unless he killed himself, so he's not stuck with her. Right? But most cases of Almana is not going to be Kalabein of Lohotzia. Those are cases of Gerushin. So we said in Shears that no. Clearly, ksuva is more than just a chshash of Shlotei Kalabein of Lohotzia. It's not just a case where we're worried that he might have this, no, I'll divorce her and I don't have any obligations. But no. It's also a chiyuv that a baal has klape ishto. That chiyuv spills over and also secures the marriage by saying lotei kalabein of lotzia, but it's not reducible to lotei kalabein of lotzia. It's definitional to your obligation, just like your obligation to your wife, just like sherexus v'ona. So next week we'll pick up with this question of what is sherexus v'ona, and what do we mean exactly when we say that these chiyuvim are definitional to the kedushas ishos. So what sense do we mean that they're part of the very essence of Kedushas Ishus? That we'll pick up with next time.